Well, hey, thanks for having me. I don't know if you had a vote in the matter, but I'm here anyway. So thanks, Phil. I grew up coming to this church, and so it's kind of full circle for me to be here. It's a little bit surreal to be here. I started going when it was Cullen Avenue way back over there, and then got to see the transition to this church, and then freshman year of high school, I met Phil and got to be a part of high school ministry, and he married my wife and I when we got married. And so it's fun to be in this place again, just to be able to speak. So thank you for having me. And if it's bad, you blame Phil or just blame yourselves, because a lot of you helped raise me. right there, Brian, you were my Sunday school teacher, so you blame him as well. So in the sixth grade, we had a small group leader. His name was Dave Bondurant, and that last name may be familiar because his nephew, Andrew Bondurant, is on staff here and taught the last 2 weeks. And Dave Bondurant was a college student at the time. He was a year-long intern, and he was the first small group leader that I had. And so a group of friends of mine and I, we're in his small group. And then over the next couple of years, we had different small group leaders, as there are different interns and different volunteers and things like that. But what I learned from my small group time was this thing called accountability. And so each week we would ask each other hard questions. And some were like, did you read your Bible this week? Have you prayed this week? Did you go to church? Things like that. But then there were questions like, have you watched anything inappropriate? Have you been in any situations that weren't good for you? And then always the last question was, did you lie to me? And so we would have to ask these questions of one another each week. And as I grew up and as I got into college and as I came back from college, I knew that I needed that group of people around me. And so there's a group of guys that we meet every Wednesday morning. We used to meet at the donut bank, and then we're like, we're better than this, so we go to Parlor now. We go get those layered donuts and $5 coffees. And so, because we've arrived. Actually, I had a honey cinnamon cold brew from there this morning. That's like my favorite drink. So, but those guys hold me accountable, and we still ask each other these questions about our families and our lives and all this stuff, because I know that these guys will help me to submit to the Lord's will in my life, but I also have to submit to their leadership in my life. And at times it's hard, because I want to be grumpy at times, and I want to get mad at my kids, and I want to be selfish and full of myself. But what I've learned from growing up in this church is that I have to submit to those things. And so, Phil, again, thank you for letting me teach on submission, because it's such a fun topic that everybody just loves. And so I'm glad that I get to talk about submitting to one another. And so we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, if you want to turn there. But let's pray as we get into God's word this morning. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being God that loves us and cares for us, and Lord, that your word says things that are tough that we need to wrestle with and work through. And so this morning, Lord, I pray that it'll be your words that are spoken. And Lord, may we not just hear your word, but may we do what it says and what you're calling us to do with your word this morning. So we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So in Ephesians, Paul wrote this letter to the church of Ephesus, and he was explaining two things. So the first half of the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters, were about the gospel, about how Jesus has rescued us from sin, how we can't do it on our own, how it is God's grace that forgives us and saves us and rescues us from this life of death that we were headed on. But he talks about how it's not just for the Jewish nation, because in the Old Testament, there was a Jewish nation, they were God's chosen people, and he set them apart to be his people. And it wasn't because they were better than everybody else, it wasn't anything that they had done, but it was what he had done, so that the people around them, the Gentiles, those that weren't Jewish, could see what it was like to live under submission to and in God's favor, and they would be drawn to that. But over and over throughout the Old Testament, the Israelite nation, the Jewish people, kept messing up, and so instead of them thinking like, oh, this is for everybody, they thought it was just for them. And so Paul's saying, no, this is for everybody. And then the second half, chapters 4-6, he talks about, okay, now that you know this is God that saves you and it's for everybody, here's how you live in light of that. And some of it was taking off the old and putting on the new. It's like, hey, this is how you used to live, but you no longer live that way because now you're a follower of Jesus, and so this is what your life looks like. And the end of Ephesians chapter 6 talks about putting on the full armor of God. And so it's like, hey, you took all this stuff off, put on God's armor, and this is how you live as a member of God's kingdom. But right before that, in the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6, Paul talks about what it means to submit to one another. He talks about submission, and a lot of times we focus on the part, because like, it talks about wives submitting to husbands. It talks about how husbands are supposed to behave in marriage. It talks about kids submitting to parents, slaves submitting to their masters, things like that. But I want to look at right before he tells us to submit and what kind of leads up to this, because I think this will help us in this very difficult topic. And so we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 21. He says this, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." So Paul is telling us how to live as brothers and sisters in Christ. This is for people that have made that commitment to follow Jesus. This is how we are to live amongst one another. And so he's saying, hey, live wisely because the days are evil. This was back a long time ago, but I think we can say that about our current economy, our current life, our current stance. The days are evil. There are things in this life that are evil, but he says live wisely and make the most of every opportunity. And he says, don't get drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, don't fill yourselves with the things of this world that are gonna kind of mess with your mind and kind of make you think in a way that you shouldn't, but instead be filled with God's Spirit. Because when we are filled with his Spirit, then we can see clearly the world around us and what we're supposed to do and how to live wisely in these days that are evil. But then he says this, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. So he's telling us to like sing over one another. So I don't know about you, but I've never been in an argument with my wife or with anybody, and they just start singing. Because I probably get more mad, or if I was the one singing, they'd probably get mad at me. Like, what are you doing? I was like, let it go, let it go. And they're like, you let it go. Like, and so it's this like moment, right, of like, what is he talking about here? But I think it's kind of this picture of who God is to us, because he's saying, hey, you're supposed to sing psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. And the way that we talk to one another, it should be this kind of music. It should be this way of building them up. It should be this way of speaking life and truth over them. As Phil said, Wednesday night, I had a kid. He wasn't supposed to come until next Sunday, and I thought I was going to be good, but he showed up early. And so I wasn't sure I was going to even be here, but here I am. And so on Thursday, my three kids got to meet their new brother, Bishop. My five-year-old, he's our other boy, so he's happy to have a brother in the house now. And but he comes in the hospital room, and we put the little boppy pillow on him, and we set his brother on his lap, and he just beams. He's like smiling so big, but then he just starts humming. My son's never hummed over me, but he's humming over his brother. And it was just this joy of meeting his brother for the first time, and just this kind of, he didn't know what else to do. And it was just in him to start humming. And it was too late to send it in because I took a video of it, but it was cool to just watch him in that moment. I think this is how God views us, that he sings over us and that we're to do that to one another. When we see people that are followers of Jesus, we're to hum over them and to sing over them this exuberance of who they are in Christ. And I think we forget that a lot of times. A lot of times we want to bicker and fight and all this stuff, but when we have this mindset of I'm supposed to rejoice over this person, I'm supposed to help them in their walk with Christ, it kind of changes our perspective. And then he goes on to say, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. So again, singing. He's like, I sing to the Lord. So I don't know if you're driving in your car and listening to Way FM or whatever, turn it up loud and sing. But sometimes it's just a song in our heart, like just sing on your own, which seems weird to me, but like a lot of times, I mean, just even now, like worshiping through song is a way that we can connect to God that we really can't in any other way. But he says, do that, always giving thanks to the Lord, God the Father, for everything. So in that song, giving thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that has rescued us and saves us. But now verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And it's funny because it depends on what translation of the Bible you read. They don't know where to put this verse. Because some connect it to this paragraph that we just read, and some have it starting the next section where he talks about submitting to one another and things like that. They don't know. They're like, I don't know what Paul, where he wanted this. And so they just like stick it sometimes with the paragraph above, sometimes the paragraph below. But here's, it has to go, it all flows together. And because he's saying we have to have this submission to one another, but it comes out of reverence for Christ. And so the word submit, so just we're all on the same page. It means to accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of another person. And when we hear that, we're like, yes, I love doing that. I want to submit to everybody. I want people to be over me. I want to do that. No, we don't. Like, that's something that we kind of, I don't want to do that. I want to be my own person. But he adds this little thing at the end, do this out of reverence for Christ. And that word reverence is also translated fear, and the actual Greek word is called phobos, and that's where we get our word phobia. But there's a type of fear in the Bible. There's kind of two different forms of this word, and one of it, this word phobos can mean this fear, right? Like that we're afraid of something, that we're scared of something, and that fear actually draws us either into ourselves or we run away from God because we're afraid either of our own inadequacy or whatever it may be, and so we run in fear. But then the other use of it is this reverence, this kind of awe of who God is and his power and his might. And so that's what it's talking about in this, that we're submit to one another out of this reverence, this holiness of who Jesus is in our lives. And from that though, it has to be this. In order to submit to one another, we first have to submit to the Lord. Because we're not just gonna submit on our own. We have to first submit our will to God's will in our life. And the great commandment starts with that. Jesus says, when he's asked about what the greatest commandment is, he says, it's this, hear, O Israel, listen, O Israel, not just hear the things that are coming in, but actually do something with this. The Lord your God is one. There's one God, and here's how you're to love him. You love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You're to love him. You're to submit everything you are to him. And then the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so if we're going to live in love like Jesus, we have to love God first. And then out of that comes our love for others. But I think a lot of times when it comes to how we love God, how we approach God and how we view God kind of determines if we're actually gonna submit to him or not. And so I was thinking about this because a lot of times, like, oh yes, Jesus is supposed to be the Lord of our life, the King of our life, he's to be in control. But a lot of times the way I approach God and I've seen other people approach God this way is we kind of look at him as like our president, as this elected official. They were like, okay, I've looked at some of the other gods and religions and the ways of living, and I think this way might be the best way. So like, I'll let him be in control of my life. I'll give him control of my life. I elect him president. And then we kind of get into his policies, right? And we're like, okay, well, what's his tax policy? 10%? I mean, that seems a little steep. I'll give him $5. You know, like, it's just kind of like, I don't know. Like, well, I helped a guy on the street one time. Like, that works, right? What's his economic plan? Like, oh, we'll give to everyone as they have need and expect nothing in return? I think that sounds like socialism. So we're not going to go that route. Like, I think God didn't know what he's talking about there. It's foreign policy. So who gets into his kingdom? Everybody that accepts him? Like, obviously, he hasn't met Kevin from accounting, that guy. Like, I mean, like, he's going to let him in? And then we look at all these other things. What's his policy on gay marriage, abortion, like on sex within marriage between a biological male and female? Like that can't, he's outdated. What does he know about any of this stuff? And it's like, we kind of pick and choose what we want to follow. And we're like, well, these things, he just doesn't know. But here's why we do this. Because when we come to God and say, well, I choose him to be the Lord of my life. I choose him to be in power in my life and stuff like that. It's not actually him that's in power. It's us that doesn't want to give up power. We allow him to like, oh, okay, I'll let him do this. But we're actually saying, I choose God. So I put myself in the seat of power and I just kind of let him speak into those things I know I should do and stuff like that. But for the real things, I'm gonna figure out on my own. But let's not get it twisted because Romans 5 verses 6 and verse 8 tell us this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us, we're the ungodly. And then verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't us allowing God to be in control of our lives. It was us in utter despair and sin and powerlessness and us sitting back and Jesus doing all the work for us. And so it's not us allowing him to be the Lord of our lives. It's him allowing us to be part of his kingdom. And when we come in with that approach, we will surrender and submit our lives to God. And so I want to ask, like, do you submit your life to God? Did you at one time pray a prayer, but are you actively submitting your life to God? Think back to this last week, or yesterday even, or even this morning maybe. You're like, okay, am I really submitting my will to God? Am I just doing what I want to do with my life? And last week, Andrew talked about this freedom that we have in Christ. And a lot of times we think, well, that gives me freedom to do whatever I want. And that's not why Christ set us free. He set us free so that we can live under his rule and authority in our lives. And it's kind of counter, because we think freedom is I just get to do whatever I want whenever I want. But it's not that. It's this I'm submitting my will to who God is. And that actually gives me more freedom because he is the creator and he knows how life works best. So when I submit to his will, he has my best interest in mind. And so I'm actually living in that freedom that he gives us. And so I was thinking about, what about my own life? What are some things that I have trouble submitting to the Lord? And so I think for some of us, time is one of those things. Because like in the morning, I'll get up, I'll read my Bible. I'm like, okay, I spent 10 minutes with the Lord. Good job. Now I can watch as many shows as I want. I can do whatever I want. The rest is my time. I gave God his time. I gave him his 10 minutes. So the rest is my time. Last week, serving one another. I tell you, the reason I'm in this room is because people that gave up their time on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights to serve and to lead small groups and to lead Sunday school and to teach and those kind of things. And so we kind of want our own time, though. We're like, well, I give them an hour on Sunday morning. That's enough. An hour and 10 minutes, I think. I think you guys do a 10-minute extra here. So good job. You did it. our church, we only do an hour, so we're slackers. But what about like our dignity and our pride? Like I have trouble with that sometimes because like Jesus says, hey, love your enemies. I'm like, no, I want them to suffer. I don't want to love them. I want them, like I want bad things to happen to them. He's like, no, you need to swallow your pride and you need to forgive. I think that was one of the, like forgiving one another. What about going and making disciples? That's a pride issue for me because it's like, well, when I'm at Walmart or when I'm eating dinner at a restaurant, I don't want to talk to the waiter. I don't want to talk to that weird lady at Walmart. I just want to get my stuff and get out of there. But no, it's like how, like wherever I'm going, am I looking for how God wants me to submit to those around me so that I can tell them about who he is? Same with my finances, our relationships, our friendships, our love life, all those things have to come under his authority. And it's a dying to our old self. It's not just me being like, okay, I'm not gonna do those things anymore. No, I'm dying to my old self and becoming new in Christ. That's what baptism represents. And tonight, I think there's 14 students that are being baptized because they went to camp. I think a mission trip, and God's doing a work in the youth around here. I love seeing that because I remember when my friends, when we come back from camp, and I remember my friends getting baptized and I was baptized as well in this church. And I just seeing that continue on, it's awesome. It's because people are submitting their lives to Christ. And so that death, though, that death to our old self, that fights against our pride, that fights against that power that we want for ourselves of like, okay, I'm in control. No, we're giving that up to Jesus. And so there's a book called Death to Deconstruction by a guy named Joshua Porter. I recommend that you read this because it's about why a lot of people are leaving the faith. And many of those things are how Christians treat one another and things like that. But one of the things that I didn't like, that it talked about self-denial. And I was like, well, this hits close to home. And so just things that feel like they're convicting me, I don't like those things. But this is what the author says. He says, the ever-present antagonism to Jesus's teaching is the modern progressive ideal that it is always wrong, evil even, for anything to stand in the way of another person getting what they want. Any such interference is oppression. If one cannot obtain what they desire, they cannot be happy or realize their full personhood. And he goes on to talk about how the culture around us sees self-denial as oppression and how self-fulfillment of doing whatever we want, that's where we find authentic happiness and truth. And that's what the culture teaches, but it's counterculture to what Jesus teaches. And here's how he concludes this statement. And yet here stands Jesus. Everyone must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Everyone is going to have to die. And that wars with us because we don't want to submit. There's those things in our life that we're like, we can figure this out on our own. But he's saying we have to submit every part of our life to Jesus, all of who we are, not just the easy stuff. But once we submit to Jesus, once we do that, then we can submit to others out of reverence for Christ, because we've submitted ourselves under his authority and his teaching. And so then, because he tells us to submit to others, we can do that because it's out of reverence for him. There's a guy in the book of Acts, his name's Cornelius. He was a Roman centurion, so that means he was like a kind of a leader in the army. And he loved God. He prayed, he did all this stuff. And one day while he's praying, he has a vision that he needs to go bring this guy named Peter to his house. And he doesn't know who Peter is, but he's like, okay, I need to do that. Well, the thing about Cornelius is he was a Gentile. He wasn't Jewish. And so Jewish people and Gentile people didn't really hang out together. And so he sent one of his guys to go get Peter. Well, while this guy's on his way, Peter also has a vision. He says he's hungry, and so he's having these visions of food. I don't know. It's getting lunchtime, so I can feel for what he's feeling. But like, he sees this big sheet lowered down from heaven. It's got all kinds of animals on it. And God says, hey, Peter, get up, kill and eat. And Peter's like, these are unclean animals, God. I follow your laws. I follow the Old Testament teachings, so I'm not going to kill anything and eat it that's unclean. It'll make me unclean. And God says, hey, don't call anything unclean that I've made clean. And Peter has that vision three times. He must have been really hungry. And so then all of a sudden there's a knock at the door, and it's this, it's Cornelius' servant, and says, hey, I'm looking for a guy named Peter. He's supposed to come to our house. And Peter's like, all right, I'm on my way because I had this vision as well. And so Peter goes to this guy's house, which is far away, and he gets there. And here's what happens though, because it was against the Jewish law for Peter to even associate with Cornelius and his family. And so Cornelius has his family. He has all these friends gathered in this room. And here's what Peter says to him. This is Acts chapter 10, verses 28 and the first part of 29. Peter says to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. See, Peter wouldn't have submitted to Cornelius's ask for him to come to his house if he wouldn't first submitted to the Lord. But because he submitted to the Lord, he's actually submitting to Cornelius and what Cornelius wanted. And what Cornelius wanted, he wanted to hear about who Jesus was. And so Peter teaches Cornelius and his family and his friends about Jesus. And then something really weird happens. The Holy Spirit comes on the Gentile people. And this hadn't happened before. And so everybody's like, wait a second, they're not circumcised, they don't follow the Jewish custom laws and the dietary laws, and they don't do all this stuff. How are they getting the Holy Spirit? And Peter and the Jewish friends are like, this is a new thing for us. But the reason we're in this room today is because of what happened in that room, because Peter was submissive to the Lord first, but then to what Cornelius wanted. Now the Jewish people are saying, oh, this is for everybody. Which it was from the beginning, but they had forgotten that. And so now Paul and Peter and all these disciples are going out and telling the Gentile people about who Jesus is. And so they told people, who told people, who told people. And the reason we're in this room, the reason I'm here, is because this conversation happened because Peter submitted to the Lord. So in order to submit to one another, we first have to submit to the Lord. So what does this look like today? I think like in our own lives, we have reasons for not submitting, right? Well, my boss is a jerk. They don't love Jesus, and so I don't have to submit to them. Or my spouse, they're really selfish. I'm not going to submit to them. Or if I submit to this person, it could cost me. It could cost me my job or my place on the team, or it could cost me something. Or I'm not a pushover. I'm not weak. I'm not going to submit to that person. I'm strong. Or they don't submit to me, so why should I submit to them? They're supposed to submit, right? It's supposed to be like they're supposed to submit to me. Then I'll submit to them. But if you look at Jesus, sometimes he submitted to the Pharisees. Sometimes he paid the temple tax. Like, they asked him to pay the temple tax. He did that. He submitted in that way. But then there are other times where they're like, oh, you can't heal on the Sabbath. He's like, no, I'm gonna obey God in this, and I'm going to heal on the Sabbath because this is your own rule that you made up. And so how do we know when we're supposed to submit? Because there's some times we're like, I don't know if I'm supposed to submit or not. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. I want to look at this part again. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. See, it's doing the Lord's will and being filled with the Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Spirit, then we listen to what God's saying. That's going to direct us on how to live. And that living for God includes that submission that he's called us to. So the question is, okay, well, what's the Lord's will? That's always the hard question, right? Well, I don't know what the Lord's will is. So a couple things. it's never going to contradict his word. So if you're like, have a question about, okay, I think I heard from the Lord, but I'm not sure, it's never going to go against what he says in his word. It's not going to contradict the Bible in any way. And so that's why having friends around you that are going to help you submit to God's word and knowing God's word on your own is going to help you determine what God's will is. It's also usually something that you're not going to come up with on your own. It's not like, oh, I think I need to go to Taco Bell and eat all the menu items from the value menu. No, it's not going to be that. That's just my own will wanting to do that. I tell you, this time of day, it's lunch. So, but in that, right, like it's going to be something that's going to challenge us, and it's not going to be something that we probably will come up with our own, because the next part, we're going to have to rely on God for this to happen. Because when he's speaking his will to us, it's going to be something that's going to challenge our faith and going to be something that's out of our comfort zone to do so that we grow in our faith, but also the people around us will be brought closer to him. And so living out the Lord's will with one another is this idea that the more I listen to him and the more that I listen to the Spirit's guidance in my life, the more that I'm going to submit my life to Jesus, and then from that, I'm going to submit to others. And so what it becomes is that submitting to one another is an act of worship. Because I'm listening to God. I'm listening to his leading in my life, and I'm worshiping him by the way that I submit to him and to one another. And so what happens if submission doesn't come out of our reverence for Christ or that fear of the Lord? Well, then it becomes transactional. It becomes, well, I submitted to you last time, so now you have to submit to me. We went to where you wanted to go last time, so now you have to do what I say. But when it comes out of this reverence for who Christ is, it becomes this beautiful picture of how the church should function. Because he gives us different gifts. He gives us different things in our life that we have these spiritual gifts. And so my spiritual gift may be different than somebody else's. And so when I submit my life to what they're good at, and then they submit their lives to what I'm good at, it becomes this awesome transaction of what the church is supposed to look like. And then Paul, later on, in like after this verse in Ephesians, he talks about how wives and husbands are to submit to one another, because it's this reverence for one another. It's out of the best interest of the other person. It's never to get ahead. And then he says this is a picture of Christ in the church. And that's what submission is, because it's not this, I'm trying to get ahead. Because there's times where I ask my kids to submit, and sometimes it's selfish. Sometimes I want them to go get me a snack because I don't want to get up, right? Like, it's like, hey, you submit to me, go do what I say. But there's other times when I'm operating in the Lord, and it's like, okay, no, I think you should do this thing. I think you should step out of your comfort zone and do this, because I think it's going to bring you fulfillment. I think God has gifted you in this way, and I know it's uncomfortable for you, but I have your best interest in mind. I'm not there to hurt my kids or punish them. And it's the same with the Lord. When he asks us to submit, it's because he loves us. He's a good father who knows what's best for us. And he's not doing this to punish us, but he is doing this to push us closer to him. And so there are going to be times where you are going to be in that position of power to ask others to submit. And so make sure that it's out of reverence for Christ. Because if it's not, if it's making the other person suffer, or it's you getting what you want and not thinking of their best interest, then it's you kind of being in that power seat. Like, well, I'm in charge. I'm in the seat of power, not Jesus. And the same thing when it comes to submitting to people, because what Paul's talking about here is our submission to one another in Christ. But there are going to be people in our life that don't follow Jesus that we're going to have to submit to. And here's what I know, that your submission to them won't violate your relationship with Jesus. So there may be times where a friend or a boss or somebody that you feel like you have to submit to may ask you to do something unethical or immoral. And that's not what submission is. So submission is, okay, I'm going to listen to what God is saying first and foremost and follow him. And that's why it's so important to know and listen to the Holy Spirit. At the same time, though, there may be some times where you have to submit to somebody that doesn't follow Jesus, and it's actually going to help them to see what a picture of Christ is in you so that they want to know more about who Jesus is, and you might have an opportunity to tell them about this Jesus that you worship. All right, so what do we do about it? So I think the first thing is, have you submitted your life to the Lord? Have you first given your life fully to the Lord? Not just one time, like, oh yeah, I prayed this prayer, but are you actively submitting your life to the Lord? You see, God created us to be in relationship with him. He created us to be in this perfect relationship where we live in submission to him, because he's the good father that knows what we need in our life. But in the beginning, Adam and Eve chose to not submit to God's will, but to submit to their own thoughts and own will and stuff like that. And they wanted to be at the seat of power. So they're like, oh, well, we'll come to God for the good things, but we want to do our own thing over here. And when they did that, it caused separation between us and God, because God is holy and we're not. And so there's a separation because we're not living in submission to God's will, but to our own will. And so that's why Jesus came, because Jesus came to repair that relationship. And even though there were times where he's like, not my will, God, but yours be done. He followed God to death on the cross. And because of that death, we were able to have life with Jesus forever, because he came back to life and defeated death. And he's gonna come again in judgment, and we need to be prepared for that day. So have you made your life right with the Lord? And if you haven't, or if you don't know, or if you have questions, or you just wanna pray with somebody, we're gonna have people down here after service to pray with you and answer questions. And so if that's you today, talk to somebody. Maybe not coming down front, but maybe just talking to somebody about this decision. Have you really surrendered your life to the Lord? And for those of us that already have, what's one area of your life that you have trouble submitting to the Lord? What's that one thing? Not just one, there's probably many things, but what's one thing that you say, I mean, Lord, if I need to get rid of this thing, I need to submit this to you. And then who is one person that you have trouble submitting to? Maybe it's a boss, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's just a friend, maybe it's that annoying person. You're like, oh, I just can't stand that person. And what are you gonna do about it? What will you do this week to live in submission to God's will? Maybe that thing that you have trouble submitting, maybe it's finding somebody that's gonna hold you accountable for that thing. Maybe it's meeting with them at Parlor. If you come on Wednesday morning, sit off to a table on the side, don't take my table, but it's over in the corner. But whatever it is, that thing, I've gotta submit that to the Lord. How are you gonna do that this week? Don't just be like, oh, okay, Lord, I need to do that. Because you've probably done that over and over, but who's gonna help you in that? And then that person, even this morning, like I was like, oh, okay, these people need to hear this. No, there's somebody that God brought to my mind and I'm like, I have trouble submitting to that person. And I need to make some things right this afternoon, but I don't want to. I was like, I'll just text them. Like, no, you need to call this person and have a conversation. And that's tough, but it's me wanting to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ in my own life. And so what will you do this week to live in submission to God's will? Because to submit to one another, we have to first submit to the Lord. And when we do that, it's this beautiful picture of what living in Christ looks like. And when we submit to one another, all the other one another is forgiving one another, bearing with one another, loving one another. That comes under this submission first to the Lord. And then we can do these other things. And that's what a picture of the church should look like. And that's what will bring people into not just this place, but into relationship with Christ, because they see us living in submission to what God wants for our lives, and not our own pleasures and own power. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time and this opportunity just to be in this place. Lord, I thank you just for Crossroads and the ministry that they've done for years, Lord, to bring people into relationship with you. And Lord, I pray for anybody today that hasn't submitted their life to you. Maybe they have prayed a prayer, maybe they come to church every week, but there's just some areas in their life that they need to submit to you. I pray that right now, in these next moments where we're gonna take some time to just pray and focus on you, I pray that you would bring those people to our minds, that area of our life to mind that we aren't living in submission to you. And Lord, I pray over this congregation. Lord, I pray that for those listening online, Lord, that you would bless them. Lord, bless us as we pursue you in a way that we haven't before. May we submit every area of our life. May it come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, Lord, may people come to know you. Lord, your job is to cause growth. We can plant and water, and I pray that we would do that well. But Lord, out of that, may we see growth in our own lives and people's lives as they come to know you. Lord, would you bless us this morning? We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.